Well, if you haven't met me before, my name is James, one of the ministers here at Earlwood. Great to have you here. The last 6 months have been a long 12 months, haven't they? They really have. It seems silly now, but it wasn't that long ago that people were buying face masks because of dust clouds and bushfire smoke. Seems a bit ridiculous. But it was only actually late last year, only in December, when this island behind me, the White Island in New Zealand, the volcano on that island exploded and it killed 21 people and injuring dozens more. Earlier this week, I watched footage of a tour group who walked on the island just 20 minutes before it exploded. The sky was a dazzling blue. The water teemed with life as small tufts of steam rose from the island like it had done every day for the 20 years before it. But on that day, even solid rock couldn't be trusted to walk on. Friends, we live in uncertain times. The things we used to trust, the solid ground we used to walk on, has shown itself to be unstable. In a blink of an eye, a job can be lost. A flight can be cancelled. A border can be closed. A second wave can begin. A life can be lost. The institutions that form the bedrock of our society can change in an instant. The government policies can change. The market can fluctuate. And sometimes, doctors can't fix us. And before 2020, we could be forgiven for thinking we walked on solid ground here in Australia. But if we've learnt anything in this last year, it's that solid ground is more unstable than we ever thought possible. Just like on White Island. Friends, we need a firm foundation. We need a solid rock. We need a place of safety that cannot be shaken. When everything else in our life can be shaken to the core, we need something or someone who is unshakable. Now, friends, as we seek out this place of safety this morning, and since we can't travel overseas, I thought I might kind of engage the theatre of the mind and take you on your own sightseeing tour. We're going to go have a look at three mountains this morning, each with breathtaking views. And these are actually our three points. It's there in the bulletin if you want to take notes. They'll also be on the screen behind me. The first mountain we're going to see is an increasing number of Aussies. They go to that mountain. For 7 million Aussies, they go to Mount Babel every day as a place to hide, to seek security in. That's the first mountain. The second mountain is much more familiar to us. It's a place of sacrifice and ritual. It has many other names, but today we're going to call it Mount Sinai. So Mount Babel, Mount Sinai, and finally, the last mountain. It's actually really difficult to access. There is a narrow path that leads to it. But as we will see, it's the greatest mountain of all. It's called Mount Zion. So that's our three points this morning, Mount Babel, Mount Sinai, and finally Mount Zion. Three places we're going to go as we seek safety in a shakable world. Well, why don't we pray and ask for God's help as we do this morning. Gracious, ever-living God, you are sure, you are certain. Help us this morning to put our faith and trust in you as we walk out into our shakable world. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever built a sandcastle? Have you ever built a sandcastle? Well, as a kid, I used to love building sandcastles down at the beach, filling up buckets of sand and piling them on top of one another. But the problem with sandcastles is that no matter how much time you spend, and to be fair, I spent a long time, no matter how much time you spend on making them strong, they never last. And so it is with all man-made mountains. They never last. Early in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 11, human beings made their very first man-made mountain. It was called the Tower of Babel. It would be a tower that would reach up to the sky, up to the heavens. a place where the people would make a name for themselves, rather than accepting the name that God, their creator, had given them. You see, they wanted a city without God. They wanted to rule atop their mountain, their tower, without God ruling on top of them. And God saw what they were doing, and he stopped the work on the tower. He scattered the people all over the earth. So it was with the first man-made mountain. But the desire to build a tower, to build a mountain, has remained in the human heart. We give these mountains many names, and some call them secularism, or postmodernity, or free thinking. But they're all just another name for Mount Babel, are they not? Now, before we test how safe it is to shelter in this mountain, we need to better understand the foundations to which it's built. In general, modern man-made mountains are built on four foundations: on human reason, on science, on economics, and on government. On reason, science, economics, and government. Now, these aren't bad things, let me just say. And there is much to admire about the human ability to reason through, to make better decisions and gain knowledge. I mean, where would we be without modern science, which helps us to understand everything from molecules to meteors? And every society needs both a functioning economic system as well as a stable government to make their citizens thrive. But every Mount Babel has a fatal flaw. You see, if man can make it, then man can shake it. If man can make it, then man can shake it. Friends, as you reflect on your own life, wherever you've come from this morning and come here to this place, which part of that mountain are you tempted to find refuge in, to find safety in? Well, let me ask you maybe a little bit of a different question to get at the same thing. How do you know you will be okay when the world shakes? You will be okay because you've got a supportive family. You'll be okay because you've diversified your portfolio. Or maybe you've got an essential job. Maybe you've got really good health cover. Maybe you can rely on the government. They'll help you out if you get really stuck. Or maybe you can use your mind. You can think your way out of any problem. Or maybe you just know deep down they're going to find a vaccine and we'll be okay. Did you hear it? As I was going through those things, did you hear the different parts of Mount Babel that you and I are reticent or are ready to seek our refuge in, are most tempted to find shelter? It's there in the answers to those questions. You see, in the last 6 months, one disease, has shaken every part of that mountain to the core. One disease has bankrupted whole industries, has shut down world travel, has plunged countries into economic recession, has stopped the Olympic Games. Not the Olympics, surely. One disease has infected 12 million people and counting. Now, you might think here in Australia that your mountain has protected you, has sheltered you pretty well through this particular storm. But as we look over the border and Melbourne, we can just see that, friends, we're not as safe as we think. There's only one plane load that it takes for that to come here. If man can make it, man can shake it. And even if we don't shake it, nature can shake it for us. Mount Babel is not steady ground. It's not a great place to find shelter. So if it's not safe, then where else can we look? Well, surely organized religion. That's the next safest place to look, to find refuge. And this brings us to our second mountain this morning, Mount Sinai. In our passage in Hebrews chapter 12, we get a close-up view of the best alternative to Mount Babel we had before the coming of Christ. Now, there are many man-made religions, but today we're considering the very best that organized religion can give. An observable system given by God himself to tell us how to worship him. okay? A mountain, a physical mountain, where God actually showed up. That he showed up physically and gave his Ten Commandments. That's the very best that organized religion can give, right? So let's start with the good stuff from this mountain, from Mount Sinai. Well, as I said before, it's a physical mountain. And there were eyewitnesses who could see and hear the living God who was on top of that mountain. In the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, read along with me. This is a mountain that can be touched with the hands. A heavenly trumpet blast can be heard with the ears. The heat of the blazing fire can be felt on the skin. The darkness and gloom can be seen and observed with the eyes. This is tangible. It's physical. And they would make very physical sacrifices to this God, according to the law he had given them, carved in stone with his very finger. Sounds pretty good, right? That's the kind of mountain that you want to go to find security. I mean, if God's at the top, surely it's safe. It's the tangible sensory aspects which makes Mount Sinai so appealing. That the holy God of all would be on top of the mountain, and if you were able to do the right ritual, if you were able to perform the correct sacrifice, then he would be pleased with you. Millions of people across the globe every day find their security in a Mount Sinai. And you can see why. But here's the big problem with that mountain. How do you know you've ever done enough? Let's look back at the picture given in Hebrews 12, because actually it isn't all good news. Yes, this mountain can be touched, but it was too much for the people to bear when God actually showed up. Their senses were assaulted by the awesome holiness of God. This is a mountain that is burning with fire. A place of darkness, of gloom, of storm. Doesn't sound very safe. When the words spoken from God came to their ears, the people were so frightened. Look in verse 19. What they say, they begged that no further word would be spoken because they could not bear what was commanded. Even Moses, the greatest prophet in Israel's history, found the sight so terrifying that he said he was trembling with fear. Friends, when you are in the presence of the living God, the true God, you realize just how small you are. You realize your unbearable lightness, your unbearable smallness, your unbearable flawedness, your unbearable creatureliness. When you come to the foot of Mount Sinai. Because how do you appease a God like that? If he can assault your senses with the awesomeness of his glory, how do you know you've ever done enough for him when he demands perfection? Many years ago, a Puritan called John Bunyan, I put into words the futility of seeking refuge at Mount Sinai. He said this, "Run, John, run. The law commands, but gives neither feet nor hands." Friends, it is very tempting to find security in the tangibility of ritual and sacrifice. But the fatal flaw with this mountain is that if God makes it, then God can shake it. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, God shook Sinai to its very core. So far, we've seen the foolishness of seeking safety in a man-made mountain, and even in a God-made mountain. So what hope do we have? Where can we go? Where can we find refuge for our lives today? Well, friends, there's good news. There's one more place I want to take you. Mount Zion. You see, if all things that have been created can be shaken, then we need to find refuge in something or someone that is unshakable, that is uncreated, This brings us to one of the most breathtaking descriptions of God's kingdom in the whole Bible. If you've got your Bibles, look at verse 22. Put your finger on it. Follow this with me. It's just amazing. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The critical difference with Mount Zion is that it is as much a person as it is a place. By coming to Mount Zion, you are coming to God himself, the only one who is uncreated. Therefore, he is the only one who can shake everything else and remain unshaken himself. So as we think about approaching this mountain, I have two questions for us. What is it like and how do we get there? What is it like and how do we get there? Now, I don't have time to draw your attention to all the treasures in that paragraph I just read out. So I'm just going to give you four quick observations of what Mount Zion is like. Firstly, it's heavenly. Mount Zion isn't here, guys. It's in heaven. I mean, it seems obvious, but do you know what? That means Mount Zion can't get COVID. It means that no matter how much our earth shakes and crumbles, Mount Zion will remain untouched. It cannot be shaken by a global pandemic. It cannot be shaken by a political tyrant. It cannot be shaken by a global recession. The second thing to see about the heavenliness of Mount Zion is that it is a heavenly kingdom still to come. Whilst there are definitely privileges afforded to the citizens of Mount Zion, we need to remember that the fullness of God's kingdom is still to come. This should make us long to be there. It should grow in us a holy dissatisfaction with the trinkets that distract us here on earth compared to the treasures upon treasures that fill up Mount Zion. Secondly, Mount Zion is really busy. Do you see that? We are not alone as we go on that mountain. We gather to worship God with angels and with other believers. Remember who angels are. Now, these are fearful creatures. Now, every time someone meets an angel in the Bible, they think they're going to die. Such is their fearsomeness and holiness and awesomeness. And yet we learn on Mount Zion, there are literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fearsome angels worshiping God alongside us. But we also don't just gather with angels by ourselves. We gather with other believers who make up the church of the firstborn. They're the spirits of the righteous. Friends, this means if you belong to the kingdom of God, I'm sorry, Liverpool, but you've got it wrong. This is the kingdom where you will never, ever walk alone. You will always have Christians, fellow believers, worshiping the Lord God corporately, surrounded by thousands of angels forevermore. It's heavenly, it's busy, but it's also joyful. And the phrase joyful and joyful assembly that I just read out before, it's a really unusual Greek word. It really means like a wild party. It's a celebration. It's a festival. It's a rejoicing. It's a time of wild revelry. Think about what McDonald's would look like if they were giving out free food, you know? People would be going nuts, excited, joy-filled. What's 10 times bigger than that? And friends, if that's the mood at Mount Zion up in heaven, then the party should begin down here. We shouldn't walk into church every week looking glum, getting down on ourselves. We should be filled with joy because that's what the angels are doing up there. And that's what we're going to be doing forevermore. It's heavenly, it's busy, it's joyful, but it's also awful. It's also awful. I don't know if you know the original way that that word used to get used. It used to mean filling something with awe. And in verse 28, we see, yes, it's going to be a wild party, but there's still a seriousness about who we are worshiping. Friends, God is dangerous. I don't know if you know that. He is not to be taken lightly. He is not to be trifled with. He is to be worshipped with reverence and awe. Why? Because he's a consuming fire. This unshakable kingdom is heavenly, it's busy, it's joyful, and it's awful. So here's the big question. How do we get there? How do we enter into that kingdom and make sure we're going there forever? Well, we learn in verse 24, it's Jesus, our mediator, who can bring us from where we are to where we are going, into God's kingdom. And how does this come? Well, it comes through his blood. So how does that work? Well, often in the Bible, we get periods of immense darkness where the earth shakes. It's really quite scary. And when we think of these moments, when we see them throughout the Bible, we often think that this is a time where God has left. But the opposite is true. Friends, the world goes dark and the ground shakes when God turns up, especially when he turns up in judgment. It happened on Mount Sinai, as you saw in that picture before. It looked like a pretty scary place. But it also happened on another mountain, a mountain called Calvary. On Good Friday, the perfect sinless Jesus allowed himself to be taken up to this mountain to be brutally crucified, suffering the punishment reserved for sinners. Then a strange thing happened. Darkness fell on Jesus. The earth shook under Jesus. What is happening there? Did God leave? No. God turned up. God the Father turned up to pour out his wrath and judgment owing for our sins on the sinless Jesus, on his beloved only Son. Jesus bore the judgment. He felt the darkness. Jesus was shaken to the core and it broke him. This is the moment, friends, that makes all the difference in the world to us. You see, here is the only religion in the world that says the judge of all the earth came to bear judgment. Not only to bring it. To bear judgment. Not only to bring it. Friends, he bore this. And he bore it gladly so you and I didn't have to. He was shaken so that those who put their faith and trust in him will be unshakable. Let me finish off what that poem says. Run, John, run, the law commands, but gives neither feet nor hands. Far and better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly, then it gives us wings. Brothers and sisters, we can enter into the unshakable kingdom of the Lord right now. We can come into Mount Zion because Jesus has removed our sin from us. We can do this with boldness and confidence, as the book of Hebrews tells us, to actually come into the presence of the living God without fear because Jesus has already been shaken so that we will never be shaken. Our world is shaking right now. And it will shake again. If it's not COVID, it's going to be something else next year and something else next year and something else next year. Friends, there is nowhere to be safe on Mount Babel. There's not even anywhere to be safe on Mount Sinai. So I beg you, if you haven't already put your trust in him, if you haven't already found refuge in him, in the God of Mount Zion, in the rock of ages cleft for you, make sure you do it and remain there forever, because his kingdom will never, ever be shaken. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly God, whilst the world shakes around us, you cannot be shaken. Help us to put our faith and trust in you, our unshakable God, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.